Welcome to Sports Girls Podcast, brought to you by sportstalk.ie. Check out gemevents.ie, candy carts, chocolate fountains, selfie mirrors. We got all your party needs covered at gemevents.ie, healthandfitnessireland.net. We put you back in control of your health, fitness, nutritional and well-being needs through education, advice and motivation. Check out healthandfitnessireland.net. Looking to dance the night away? Check out thelols.ie, the perfect sound for your next wedding, party or function. Great set lists, lively and sure crowd pleasers, thelols.ie. So joining us tonight is Diane O'Hora, who was once a top star in ladies football, and now we'll call her an expert in the game, while our guest is Cork dual star Hannah Looney, who is a top star in both codes. Welcome, ladies.
Thanks.
Hi, Kevin.
So for anyone, and I'm sure there are very few of you out there that don't know who Diane O'Hora is, she captained Mayo to an All-Ireland back in 1999, scored a decisive goal against Dublin in the 2003 final and won an All-Star. She's also managed Longford and Meath and coached Down, and now she's managing Dublin club team Fingallians. So I just want to start with you, Diane, for a second. Was it a natural transition for you going from player to manager? Was it something that you wanted to do?
I suppose I would have talked about it before with a few different people. I think that when you've invested, I think the ESRI survey came out and said that guys are, it was based on men's football, that they're spending up to 38 hours a week involved in football. And, you know, like when you're playing inter-county and you're travelling to Mayo from Dublin or whatever, it was pretty much the same time. So I think when you lose that, when you stop playing and that, you know, there's 40 hours out of your life that was committed to being around football and involved in it. I think it ends up being a void that you're probably looking to fill. And where there wasn't something else that really took my interest, it was actually probably a natural transition when I was first asked to take St. Bridget's Senior Club in Roscommon. So in terms of being natural, I wasn't sure if I was going to do it or not. I think it's a confidence issue. And then I just took a chance. I kind of thought to myself, well, if they want me, then they see something that I might be able to add, or I might add value in somewhat to what they're trying to achieve by winning Roscommon Senior Championship. So, yeah, I took a chance and I went for it, and it worked out very well, actually.
The game has revolved so much since you played it. Can you believe how popular it is now?
Oh my God, yeah, it's crazy. I think we had about 30,000 as attendance, and that was like the biggest that they'd had for years, and that was 2003. It was Mayo versus Dublin, and they'd never had such a big attendance, and I remember what that was like. So, you know, to know what Hannah ran out onto the field with 50,000 people and 46 last year, it's a credit to them, I think, to where the sport is at now, and obviously to all the agencies involved in creating a lot of buzz around it, and the sponsors, like with, you know, regards to Lidl and Gourmet Food Parlour, this huge amount of effort put in with all local communities, clubs, counties and the LGFA to get those people there. So it's unbelievable, you know, how popular it's become. It's a great place to be.
All right, we're going to just have a look back at our recent All-Ireland finals, and we start with Camogie first, and we'll hand that over to you, Hannah. The junior Dublin defeated Kerry, in the intermediate Cork overcame Down, and then congratulations to yourself and Cork on claiming the senior title by defeating your old rivals Kilkenny. I suppose for a lot of people, the three teams that most picked won, but your game against Kilkenny was always going to be tight.
Yeah, look, it was a phenomenal win in the end. You know, ourselves and Kilkenny, there's never been anything between us, like coming past a couple of years or whatever. And like, look, last year was a point, this year was a point again. You know, when Orla Cotter stood over last free in the dying moment, I don't know that anyone even look at it. And just to hear the roar of the crowd when it's over the bar, look, I'll never forget that feeling. And, you know, when Aisling Thompson like got a vital interception there, and in the last few minutes or whatever, look, it was just unbelievable to go back and do the double.
Yeah, it must have been amazing, and especially when games are so... See, it's great for us viewers and for supporters when games are tight and you've got action, but as a player, how are you feeling out there?
Yeah, look, I'm not used to being in the back line. It was a new thing for me this year to be put in the back line, so it felt like extra pressure because, like, any mistakes back there and, you know, we were up against the wall. I honestly couldn't look. You know, you're just adrenaline running through your veins and whatever. And I'd actually never forget, like, when Aisling got that free at the end. I actually threw my hurley away. I thought it was the final whistle, but it wasn't. So, like, you know, your tension, you're up the wall, heart's in your mouth. I'd say it was even harder to watch from a car's point of view, but... Oh, it's just unbelievable when the final whistle then did go.
Yeah, because to win All-Irelands are special, but to win it in that way, and, you know, especially the way you won it last year as well, it seems to be an annual thing now, the way these finals are won.
Yeah, look, it was super sweet, but look, we won't get ahead of ourselves in one sense. You know, 2016, we were coming back and going for three in a row, and, you know, we made a lot of mistakes that year, and... I think hopefully, you know, it's early days. Yes, we're going to enjoy the winter as such. We'll winter well, no doubt. But when we come back in January or December or whatever, hopefully everyone will stay on and make a right go at this three in a row. Kilkenny will definitely be hurting. So, you know, hopefully though.
Diane, we'll turn our focus to the football. In the junior, Limerick goes win games and they beat Louth, which I thought Louth were actually going to win it. Tyrone overcame your former County Meath in the intermediate final, and then Dublin retained their senior status, or sorry, retained their senior title by defeating Cork. Hard luck there, Hannah. Diane, I suppose for most, everyone was looking at the Dublin-Cork game and could Cork stop Dublin? They've been a phenomenal team the last 12 months and they just proved it again.
Yeah, I mean, what a game to watch, like, from a spectator's point of view. I suppose I was just thinking about it earlier. I'm glad I wasn't a player, because I wouldn't want to be going up against the physicality of Dublin right now. You know, God, they're incredible. Like, what they bring to it in power, in tempo. I guess I've never seen anything like it, to be quite honest, and it shows that they've really transformed. I suppose they're dictating the way that ladies football is going to be played now, because, you know, in terms of looking at the advantage rule, you know, It was very, 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 it was very physical, really. And, you know, I suppose from a coach myself, there's a few things that it's probably tricky to know how to coach a team nowadays, because I don't really know, you know, I don't really know what the boundaries are in terms of the rules, if that makes any sense. Because that game was just, you know, it was so physical, those shoulders going in, those hits going in. Stuff that I hadn't seen, like, for a long time in ladies football, like, and it was amazing to watch. Obviously, it was fantastic. But then, you know, if I go back to the Tyrone Meath game, that was so full of flow. It was, you know, I'm not discounting skill in terms of the Dublin and Cork game, but there's a difference. There's a world of difference in terms of the physicality required to play senior. That's for sure. And I think that, you know, Tyrone, after the experience they got last year losing to Tipperary, I think they're in a position, same as Meath would be, knowing that physicality is going to be a big requirement.
I suppose, Hannah, you know, Diane mentioned that the physicality. How did you feel? Did you feel a difference in playing Dublin this year?
Physicality, I suppose, is something that has really, really taken off in the game. You know, the amount of hours that we've put into strength and conditioning this year is phenomenal. Like, it's nearly as much as you're putting out onto the pitch. Dublin, they were a phenomenal team. They were the better team on the day. They really brought it up another level, another physical level than what we were used to. But, you know, there's a lot to learn from it in many cases too.
Well, see, that's it. They always say, learn from your defeats. So another thing that happened recently was the All-Star nominations. Not surprisingly, Dublin, of course, lead the way with 14 nominations. You know, I'm going to start with Diane first. Diane, is there anyone or any questionable inclusions or omissions from the nominations?
I suppose, and it's not biased, but, you know, Sinead Finnegan being one of the girls out in St. Gallen's, I was really surprised not to see her there. I know she'd missed a couple of league games, but I guess if the league came into it, then Mayo would have, you know, three or four more nominations. And I suppose that's me being biased, but that's probably the truth as well. So in terms of championship, I suppose, looking at Dublin with 14, I was really surprised not to see Sinead Finnegan there with how she performed in the final. And, you know, I know two girls that actually only played two games all year, and another girl only played one game, and both of those got All-Stars historically. So, I mean, Sinead had played very well for a few games. I think looking at Donegal, like, the fact that they got 8 was probably a bit surprising. And then you're looking at Mayo, like, in the league final, they just get 1. and that's the same as, you know, Sligo, Tyrone,
Cavan. Yeah.
Yeah. So I suppose, yeah, there's an imbalance there. And, you know, I think there are questions, I think, raised every year as to maybe intermediate should have their own All-Stars, and the same with the juniors.
Yeah, I was actually going to say that to you, and I'll bring Hannah in on that in a second. Hannah, is there anyone for you that you thought should have, obviously Hannah Looney probably deserved to be nominated, but is there anyone that you think should be there?
To be honest, I haven't looked much into them myself, but, you know, I do feel all the Cork girls that got the nod definitely deserve to be there. I think especially Melissa Duggan, I think she's had an outstanding year. To be honest, I think she was the only one who kept Noelle Healy somewhat quiet this year. So, I'd be hoping that she'd definitely get an All-Star, if not being up for Player of the Year. Other than that, I haven't looked much into it now, to be honest.
Yeah,
and I think even if you look back, and we spoke about this a long time ago, you know, the Kellys, like Niamh and Grace Kelly from a Mayo perspective, were just incredible this year. Sarah wrote the same thing, and I mean, it was fantastic to see Rachel Kearns get her nomination, and Rachel, like, you know, she played in goals for some games this year, and she played in about 3 to 4 other positions outfield. So, yeah, it's hard to know, like, you know, where these are picked. But I think every year there's always going to be people that feel that, you know, their county was hard done by to an extent.
Yeah, it's the same in the men's. But Diane, you were going to bring in something, and it was something I was going to ask both of you. The fairness of the All-Stars. And so many managers have said it to me after games and championship games, where you see some fantastic footballers, like even from my own county, Leanne Keegan, Michelle Farr, fantastic footballers. And because they play for Longford, and Longford are junior, you know, or intermediate, Longford were junior and then intermediate, they mightn't get the recognition. In the hurling, they have awards for the respective competitions, like the Nicky Racker, the Laurie Maher, and lads feel that, yeah, this is an All-Star, it's their All-Star. Do you think something like that should be brought in, that an award for the respective competitions, like junior, intermediate and senior?
Yeah, I genuinely do. You know, 100%. I mean, if you look at the team of the league, it's for all divisions of the league.
Mm.
So, you know, the input comes from the managers. So, for example, Division 1, 2, 3 and 4, the managers after each game, they text LGFA in the next day or whatever to say the number of the player that, the name and number of the player that, you know, that they would propose would be in the running for a team of the league. You know, it's quite like a league all-star. I mean, why they can't do that, it's not really, I can't imagine how difficult it would be to do that for the three divisions. Junior, intermediate and senior. And I think it would create even more of a buzz, you know, around the communities and the clubs and the localities and the schools for those girls. There would be more players getting recognition. There would be more players receiving awards. I mean, anything like that is absolute free advertisement. And you'll also have girls that would buy into ladies football forever, you know, if they're given that level of, I suppose, recognition to what they've achieved. And it's just, it's inspiring for people as well to, you know, to up your game. If you get one at junior and then your team get promoted to intermediate, you'd really like to see yourself competing at that level against your peers inside and intermediate, you know, to try and push yourself on that, you know, individual, I suppose, success as well. So I really believe that it would be in the best interest of the LGFA if they were to look at that. But, you know, again, I'm just a spectator from the outside looking in.
Yeah, but you manage teams that were in the lower grades. Hannah, what do you think yourself?
Yeah, no, I definitely think, look, there's no difference between senior, intermediate and junior. You know, I think any team that will come up from intermediate will find it a big step to get up to senior. So I do think they should be kept separate in that respect. I think the Camogie do it well, actually.
Yeah.
They have a kind of a soaring stars kind of a system where they give about 5 or 6 intermediate players or junior players that's about during the year. So, yeah, I do think that should be looked into.
Right, last week, 11 girls went off to Australia for a rookie camp for the AFWL. Now, today, it was word that Ailish Constine from Clare was signed up. So, what do you think of these rookie camp girls? We'll start with you, Hannah. If you had a chance, would you go out to Australia and give football, Aussie rules football a chance?
Yeah, it sounds like a great opportunity, and I'd say the girls had a great time, you know, to experience sport at a professional level. Look, that's that's an amazing opportunity to take on board. I think on a personal note, it's definitely something I'd consider. But right now I'm trying to focus on my career. I suppose I'm in final year of college studying chemical engineering, up the walls at the moment with interviews and whatnot. But, you know, if an opportunity came in the future where, you know, I was asked to go for trials or if I was asked to go on, there was an opportunity, I definitely would consider it, you know. To feel what it's like to play a professional sport, I suppose.
That's probably it. I think it's just to get to know what it would be like. Diane, if you could do something like that, would you do it? What do you think of it?
I'd say now, Denise, at my age, even handling the flight across now would be enough. And the notion that there's a lot more and bigger spiders over there is something that really wouldn't attract me. But as Hannah
was saying, Diana Hoare is afraid of spiders. Wow.
Yeah, I don't like them, Denise. I genuinely don't. Really, I don't. But as Hannah was saying there, like, to get the chance, I mean, you know, you've heard Cora talk about it, you know, in different interviews that she did all year. Like, to get the chance to go over there, like, and you'll probably know Laura Dunley as well, the girl in Cavan, that she's been over there a couple of years. And she was a county player with Cavan as well. There seems to be a very good crossover and ability to cross over from Gaelic football to AFL. And, you know, they've been doing a lot of work for AFL in Ireland. They've been advertising a lot. They have a bunch of different teams. They have, like, weekend camps. And to, you know, attract the 12 girls that they have, you know, they've spent time inviting them to trials and kind of honing in on them. And they're clearly interested. But, like, I guess, as Hannah said, imagine just being over there, like, you know, full time. You know, whatever about the ESRI, 38 hours, that is a full week's work, like, in terms of dedication and commitment to sport. But imagine the opportunity of being able to train full time. It's fantastic. And the best part is they get to come back in March and they're going to be in the shape of their lives, you know, by most come back to compete with their county, you know, moving forward to championships. So it's such an opportunity for them.
I can see a lot more
going over.
And the thing about it is the girls that have been over there, maybe they could bring back something that they learned over there to their counties. That would help them along.
Yeah, like the professionalism in Australia. I mean, most of the clinical studies and data, you know, in terms of health and fitness, it's all coming from Australia. They're so big into it from a research and science point of view that I guess what the players will learn and what they'll bring here and disseminate to players that they coach or train in Gaelic football, you know, afterwards, it's just going to be massive. I mean, going back years ago, everyone had just gone over to New York for a summer and played a bit of football and worked in a pub or a restaurant or whatever the case might be. And yeah, now there's a different option. I think New York and Boston are going to find there's some competition for getting over the Irish girls to play football for summer.
Yeah, maybe this is the new thing that the men are going to America and the ladies are going to go down under.
Yeah, it looks like that could be what's happening, all right.
Right, so Hannah, it's now time to grill you, so you better be ready.
Okay.
We'll start, I suppose, mixed emotions for you in the last few weeks on the high of winning the All-Ireland senior title in Camogie, and then you lost out to Dublin in the football final. You know, how does it feel? You know, I suppose you're on a high one moment and then you're kind of brought back down to earth.
Yeah, look, to be honest, it's just been a total bag of emotions. Like, it's like you're in a bubble as such for the last couple of weeks, and next thing it's popped. And, you know, it's grand for the few days after when you're with all the girls still and, you know, you're just not really thinking about the match. But then when it kind of hits that, like, look, it's over, you lost. It's over, you lost. And, like, all the girls are just, like, getting back to normal. I'm trying to get back to college, trying to get life back on track. It's very hard in that sense. But, you know, you're just trying to appreciate the Camogie win. Like, Camogie win was fab, but it's going to be hard to even think about football at the moment. You know, I think everyone's still really, really hurting over that. Just a real whirlwind of emotions and, you know, just trying to get back on track now.
So, Hannah, you know, in terms of, like, coming out on the field, for, we say, the football final, and comparing that to the level of support that was there for the Camogie, did you find any significant differences in terms of your ability to handle communication on the pitch?
I suppose, like, any bit of crowd in Croke Park, it's going to be phenomenal. You know, there's going to be such an atmosphere there. But, you know, it's funny, like in the Camogie, you have a huge crowd there on one side, but if you go over to the other side of the pitch at all, it's a really, really lonely place. Like, there's no one there. I found myself in the second half, I just thought it was me on my own or whatever. Yeah. So I was over on that side. As for the football then, you know, it was just crazy, just absolutely crazy. You know, to be honest, the match just goes by like a blur. You know, and it is definitely difficult to communicate and stuff like that. But, you know, it's something you have to get used to for the big days.
Yeah.
Congratulations on your recent success with your club. Ahada, you are now going to be playing senior football next year after winning the intermediate, and that's two championships in a row as well for the club.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. I actually can't get over it, you know. It's something I never even, you know, you dream of going to Croke Park, you dream of playing for Cork, you dream of winning All-Ireland, but winning with my club was never really something that I ever even dreamed about, because I suppose up to only a couple of years ago, we were struggling at Junior C. And now to be up to be playing senior football next year, I can't believe it. And winning the Junior A All-Ireland last year, that was super, super special as well, bringing the cup home to your home Paris, and all these people you grew up with. And, you know, to have a big win like that, hopefully we can take on that, you know, and bring it into this Munster series now. It's not going to be easier up another level, but, you know, who knows?
You know, your success there. How much time then, as an intercounty Camogie and Gaelic football player, how much time are you able to give to your club? You know.
Yeah, look, that's the really hard thing about playing Camogie and football with your county. You know, your club really, really does suffer in during the summer. To be honest with you, you know, I played maybe I got one football championship match in, and I got one Camogie championship match in. And other than that, you know, you just weren't able to fulfill the fixtures. You know, you can't be in two places at the one time. But thankfully, look, especially with our footballer club, you know, everyone was just so understanding. Killacamogie, really, really understanding. And, you know, it does, I suppose, in one sense, I suppose I felt it this year in Camogie, more so than football. You know, it just kind of, on the Killacamogie, we've three or four inter-county players, and, you know, we didn't see our club for most of the summer, and you know that's not true, no fault of our own, like just physically can't put it in. And you know, we lost club championship there last weekend, and you'd wonder, you know, if you just had more time with your club, you know, would we get it right, you know?
I'm actually sure they understand, Hannah. Like, I mean, I've coached club you know, as well, and I understand that the girls with county commitments, I mean, it's so important, like from a coach's point of view and from a welfare point of view, you can't expect too much of them, and you can't ask too much of them. Like, you have to respect what they're doing in county. It means they're going to come to you, you know, able-bodied, fresh, strong. They're going to come to you trained with the best coaches in the county. So I suppose it's just, I know myself from talking to county players, they feel more guilt, you know, towards it.
Yeah.
But there is such great understanding, I think, within the clubs. People don't expect you to, you know, split yourself in 12, like, you know, throughout the summer.
Yeah, I suppose that's exactly it. And, you know, Mary O'Connor came down to speak to us there before our championship match. And, you know, she made a really good point about, like, how, you know, we're all here. We all have our own Everest, she was saying. And look, club players, that's their goal. You know, I obviously have a goal to play with county, but when we bring it back to club, that, you know, the club players need to respect county players, and the county players need to respect club players. And, you know, it is, like, I'm really, really grateful for being involved in such two great clubs, and, you know, thank them so much for their support. You know, without it, you wouldn't be here. I know it's a cliche, but club is where it starts and where it ends. And, you know, I'm lucky now that I do have the time, like, I can give my full commitment to Ahada Ladies football now, and I'm just really, really looking forward to hopefully pursuing a Munster championship.
You're an amazing person when you think of it, because as well as playing club and county and dual star in both as well, you're also in college. You were mentioning your final year. Is college a break from sport, or is sport a break from college?
I suppose I'm studying chemical engineering. I suppose growing up, you know, kind of people are like, oh, you know, because I'm such a heavily involved in sport, they're like, oh, you're going to be a PE teacher or going to do physio or something like that. But, you know, that was always a goal of mine, was to pursue something else just to have that break. And look, I'm lucky to be doing a course that I really enjoy. But finally, by no means, I'm only back 3 weeks and I'm off the wall. But look, hopefully get through the year and looking to secure a graduate job then.
I know, fair play to you. I, you know, even I'm playing a bit of Gaelic for mothers and others, and I'm finding it so hard, you know, to try and we only train once a week, but work and everything. So I admire anyone to play one sport or and then play for the county. But for you to do two and for club and county, you know, great credit to you.
Thanks, Vivian. No, I appreciate it. Look, you know, it's just, it's what I love. You know, it's always been the dream to play football in Camogie O'Cork. So when you just love something so much and you so many great people around you, I think that's the most important thing. I think, you know, I've such a great family, such great friends and such great clubmates, and makes everything enjoyable and makes everything worth it.
And in terms of motivation?
On a personal level, I suppose when I go back to when I was maybe, you know, I suppose I started playing football in Camogie when I was 4 or 5, but I suppose when you're maybe 10 or 11, it kind of becomes something that you're, you know, you're serious about. And like, when I was 11, I had a dream, you know, I wanted to go to Crow Park, I wanted to climb up the Hogan stand, and for that to come true, like, you put in so much hard work to get there, but for that to come true, it's really, really special. I suppose I'm just having such great role models growing up, you know, Reed, Rena, like, I just can't get over what phenomenal athletes they are first, but what great, great people they are. And I suppose another thing is my father and my mother and your family and my brother Kane, I better give him a shout out. You know, it's just like when they put so much time into you, you know, it's just so nice to give back, and in that sense.
So you've climbed the steps now, so is that it? You're done.
Sorry?
you've climbed the steps of Crow Park now, so is that it? Your motivation's gone?
No, not at all. I think I'm just hurting a lot now over the football, to be honest, and rightly so. I think, you know, but there's something special about that bunch. I think there's a great bunch of girls, you know. I suppose even just looking like myself, Eimear Meaney, Eimear Scally, we've been playing on Cork team since we were 13, and, you know, we're finally up here at the senior stage, and like mixing in then with experience of your like Shakira O'Sullivan and Martino O'Brien, you know, it's not easy. It's not going to be easy to take down the Dubs anytime soon, but there's something special there, and hopefully if we can just get it right, you know, there'll be more success to come for that team.
Aoife Fitzgerald is your Cork football manager, and Polly Murray, the Camogie manager. What are they like as managers? Are they similar or are they very different?
Very, very different, I'd have to say that now. Look, I, you know, it wasn't on my agenda at all to be playing Cork football this year. I got a call from Aoife in around May asking me to come back to the panel, and, you know, look, I considered it, but you know, when you think of all you ever want to do is be a dual player, so I said I'd definitely go for it. And once I ran that by Paddy, and to be fair to the two lads, they really communicated well over the year. You know, myself and Libby were never ever overtrained, you know, we were always looked after, and it worked well in the end. You know, a lot of people are saying you can't do dual, yeah. But I think when there's good communication there and you know yourself where you need to be, what's the most important thing, it can work out.
Yeah, because I remember talking to James Masters a while ago on our GA Old School, and he was just telling us how the Cork ladies, how they were dealing with the ladies playing Camogie for college and obviously Gaelic football for college, and how they got on together. I think that's what it's all about, isn't it? You're all working together and you all know what you're doing.
Yeah, that's it. Like, I'll never forget the support the ladies footballers had for me and Livy going up to the All-Ireland final. Like, it's phenomenal, you know. It's just that everyone's just backing each other. And, like, that's it. At the end of the day, we're all backing each other for the same goal. And that's it. There's respect there for Camogie. There's respect there for football. And as long as everyone's, like, in the right mentality and moving in the right direction, you know, it works out well.
And, Hannah, will you play both codes for the college as well this year?
Yeah, definitely.
Your final year?
Yeah, look, to be honest, you know, an Ashburn and O'Connor Cup medal is something that I've been chasing a long time now. So yeah, definitely will. It'll be tough now at the final year, and I will have to manage my priorities big time.
And will your Camogie and football, like, between, you know,
both like county managers, will they communicate with your college managers as well then? You know, what you're doing, what's expected of you, are you doing too much?
Yeah, I think, I suppose in a respect, in a way that was kind of, that didn't work out great, last year. Just look, miscommunication outside of the year and whatever. And it just, yeah, it didn't work out for a few of us players who were trying to play both. But I think, you know, I think this year you just have to like think, put yourself forward in one sense and, you know, look, what's going to be important for me now coming into January and February will be the O'Connor Cup and the Aspirin. So, you know, I think if you just can get the communication out there at the start, we should be good to go.
So away from sport, do you have any time? Not even what do you do to relax? Do you have any time to relax and how do you?
That's kind of it. I suppose, like...
You're a bit like myself and Diane. Sport is a hobby and it's our life.
Yeah, that's it. You know, I suppose GAA in many respects, I wouldn't be the person I am today at all without it. I don't know if that's a sad thing or a good thing, but, you know, we're...
It's a good thing.
We're here now. Like, over the summer, I was on placement in college down in Biomarine, the pharma company down in Rugby City. So, you know, I had a grand old routine there. I got up, went to work, went to train... And that was it. And you're kind of, I was out Saturday or Sunday doing something, but I suppose one thing I do like to do to relax, all right, would be, I'm very fond, of the beach at home, you know, and just going out there for a walk with a dog or going for a swim or something like that is whenever I get the chance, it's nice to, take the mind off things, but it's hard enough when you're busy out doing both, but look, yeah, it's what you love. That's why I suppose, now, when all that routine, everything is popped, and you're just like, oh God, what's ahead of me now for a few months? Just trying to get the head in the right frame of mind again.
Yeah, because I was going to say that to you. You know, have you any plans for the winter months? Do you kind of, relax, or do you keep yourself in shape? Or I suppose study will probably be the main thing for you away from the sport.
Yeah, I suppose I was hoping to relax, and then I went back to college and met all the girls and lads, and they were like, there's no relaxing here. And I was like, oh God. But,
guilt trip takeaway maybe.
Yeah. Like, I, you know, hopefully I'll go away on a holiday or two just to get the mind free. But that's going to be hard as well. And it's fair enough as well, like, you know, there's a great opportunity with Ahada here to pursue an All-Ireland, well, a Munster first. Mm. So, you know, I'll get the focus on that in a way, but, you know, it won't be as intense as the inter-county team, thank God, and, you know, go out a bit more, socialise, winter well, as they say. But, yeah, just trying to unwind in one sense. But, yeah, it's...
yeah, I think... from my understanding, a lot of players now really enjoy their off peak, and they come to a point in the off peak where they're absolutely desperate to get back into the routine of county football again. So I don't know if that's something that you know happens to you or not, but you know, I don't know if you've heard of people happening to people, but I see it a lot, and I hear people saying, I just can't wait to go back to county.
Yeah, there's no fear of us down in Clark anyway, enjoying the winter. I suppose the Mourne Abbey crowd especially, I have to give them a shout out, even though they're kept quiet as well. You see, that's this. The Mourne Abbey crowd now will be kept quiet for a couple of months, so they'll let loose again come December. But yeah, that's it. I think, you know, you're on such a strict schedule for a couple of months, you know, it's nice in a way to just like break out of that. But as you said, it comes to a stage where you're like, I don't want to go out anymore on this Thursday night. I need to get back into routine. I need to get on board. But, you know, I think we all deserve a bit of downtime too, though.
That's for sure.
You were on the Ray D'Arcy show recently with the Cork Camogie team and then the Dublin ladies team as well. It's great to see that level of publicity now for our games.
Yeah, look, it's phenomenal. I suppose a bit disappointed there wasn't just all red and white on the Ray D'Arcy that night. But, look, we'll get over that. Look, yeah, you know, I think the progress being made in women's sport is outstanding. You know, the sponsorships, the likes of Lidl in the football, and you have Liberty Insurance and stuff, and Camogie
Just to be getting recognised at that acknowledge. And it's nothing less that I think female athletes deserve. And, you know, like, it's great, you know, if you look at maybe like Ashling Thompson down here in Cork, she'd be known from all the kids more than a Cork senior hurler would, for example. And, you know, that's really, really good to see. And, you know, we're going in the right direction, hopefully.
I know it's only September, Hannah, but you mentioned it earlier on about, you know, Cork and going for three in a row. But your footballers also, will you be out to stop Dublin doing their three in a row next year?
Yeah, look, that's going to be, you know, a huge, huge, huge challenge. You know, I think, you know, the plan is for us to get together in a group maybe in a couple of weeks and just throw things out on the table. Like, you know, a lot of things went right for us in this year. You know, we did get the Munster title back. It was a great semi-final win, but, you know, we just didn't have that extra gear for us, gear in us or whatever was needed to get over Dublin. And, you know, they're going to be a formidable force. If they have the right mind, you know, going back to 2016, you need to have such a perfect mindset to go for a three in a row. It's very easy to take your foot off the pedal. But I don't fear that Dublin have no intention of putting their foot off the pedal. But as I said, you know, I think there's great things happening in Cork football. I think there's just a great mix of girls coming through, you know, and there's just a good blend of experience. And, you know, we get on so, so well off the field. So hopefully, you know, we need to bring it to another level, and we need to find out what that extra level is. That'll be it.
Just one thing there that I'd like, just it'd be interesting to know is, do you find in your experience between playing league and Division One and, you know, playing college football and then playing inter-county senior Gaelic football, do you find the spectrum of refereeing to be really unpredictable? Like in terms of, you know, I've heard of teams that were sending, you know, that they were sending scouts out to watch different referees and report on them. These are county teams. And they actually write up a full report to say, he lets you away with anything. You can go hard, you can shoulder, you can tackle from behind and so on. All of these different things. That some county, senior county teams are doing this now.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that doesn't surprise me at all. I think, you know, especially, I suppose, Camogie, I didn't look into it too much, but I heard there was a lot of backlash from the reffing from the All-Ireland final. And I suppose it wasn't true reception. I think reffing all year, the game seemed to flow or whatever, but, you know, I think the big problem, in my opinion, is at an inter-county level anyway, I think the game has gone so much more physical. Girls are stronger, girls are fitter, girls are faster, and I think the rules need to adapt a bit to facilitate that, you know. There's no need to be stopping the ball up for little shoulders or little things like that, you know. It's just going to ruin the game as a spectacle in a whole, and I think that's half the problem. Technically, ladies football is no contact. You've referees there that'll blow all day. You've referees that'll let everything go. And, you know, that it is something that has to be addressed.
Do you train for that then as a team? Like, do you train for, you know, maybe a call from the sideline or just a call from your colleagues or just someone? Because how do you know when all of a sudden this guy, you know, the whistle's blown, that you played a semi-final and everyone's, you know, the whistle's been blown for a touch or a push in the back or a push or a foul or whatever, and then all of a sudden you go to a final and, you know, you're being shouldered off the ball. How do you adapt to that as a senior player?
Yeah, it's like that, as you said, it's definitely something that has been taken into consideration. I don't think we don't go through a team meeting now without assessing the ref on what his tendencies are and what to do. And, you know, it can be frustrating. I think, you know, in Camogie, we've had a few meetings with sports psychologists and stuff, and, you know, just focusing on what's important now and focusing on things you can control. And I suppose that's the best thing you can do as a player, just focus on what you can control and focus on your own game. But it can be frustrating, the unpredictability of reffing these days.
That's something that I've noticed, girls, this year, and I found the standard. Because I would have done a lot of, you know, Division 3 or intermediate games, I found the standard has dipped as well in games. I don't know if you've noticed that, Diane, or, you know, Hannah, you're playing at a higher level, but I know that lower down, the standard has really dropped. Girls, would you be interested? I remember years ago thinking I wouldn't mind being a referee, and then I thought, no. So would either of you be interested in doing refereeing ever?
I'd say not a hope in hell. I'm just laughing here because I'm living with a fella, Sam Grace. He plays hockey there, and he's playing with Ireland as well. But he was saying that he was dragged into refereeing their school's game the other day, and he said, like, he'll think twice about abusing a ref again after all the abuse he got after making a call or whatever. But, God, no, it was the last thing in the world I'd want to put myself into. Which is a bad thing in one sense that, like, I'd say a majority of people around the country would say not a hope, you know. Then, you know, maybe there should be a way to make it more appealing, you know, because the refing standard is a bit off.
Yeah, and I think the fact is you have to have people that play it. I know myself, even at local games here, you'd know the ones that have played football and know that enthusiasm has, you know, brought you into a tackle, or, you know, the weather conditions or different things like that, that they know that as a player, that's what happens, whereas some of them can be very, you know, whistle happy.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, there's some refs who are used to refereeing men's games or used to refereeing hurling games. And, you know, I do think most inter-county refs at senior level that I've come across this year have been on the ball and sense.
Yeah.
But coming back to club now last weekend, I noticed a huge difference. I personally think it took the refs maybe up to the second half to get a grip on the game. You know, we were two physical teams, you know, going at it.
Mm.
And, you know, we made bad calls on both decisions, or on both teams. So, yeah.
Well, at least we were consistent.
Yeah. That's it, yeah.
What's the refing like in Dublin, Diane? Or can you say it?
I would say, again, Denise, there's a broad spectrum. Like, I really think the need to tighten in Dublin and elsewhere in terms of what the, you know, the perception is, or the understanding, or the interpretation of the rules. Because, God, you know, I feel sorry for players going out. I genuinely do, because they just actually genuinely don't know what they're going to get. And because the spectrum is so broad between, you know, some who are very good and some who are just poor, you know, you're training these kids to play football and you want them to be enthusiastic. And they go away frustrated, confused. Where did it all go wrong? And you're actually, you know, you don't want to turn around and make excuses and say it was the rest. But, like, you know, you could have it on video. It actually was. It's just, I feel so sorry, you know, for people involved in their families and clubs, and the same with counties, because, God, you know, people's championships are over because of decisions of some of these guys. They have no concept of the responsibility that lies within their hands. Like, they have no understanding of the hours that people have put in. Because they're getting 30 or 40 euro to turn it up long to a match.
Is it too much responsibility, though, Diane, with one person?
Yeah, and they're getting paid. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're getting good expenses to turn up. I know somebody who's, well, you know, he just told me that, like, he's doing, you know, up to 12 matches a week. And, you know, that's great. But I would rather you do two, and that you actually went back to read the rule book, spent a little bit of time becoming a little bit more consistent, appraising yourself, assessing yourself, and looking for feedback of the management and the players from the opposition team, or whatever, on whatever days, respective days that you train. Because everyone, no matter if they're a coach or a referee, every day is a school day. You know, you have to try and improve yourself every single day. Even if you're a player, there's something you want to achieve at each session. And I just don't get how a ref can just come along, be absolutely awful, and not be answerable to anyone. Whereas, you know, if Hannah plays a poor game, Effie is going to take her in, or, you know, she might be brought in by the camogie manager, Park Murray, might be sat down and said, you know, Hannah, this is going wrong or that's going wrong. Have a look at this to improve. You know, a ref might get an assessor. And as you say, again, we really don't know the quality of the assessor to begin with. You know, and I'm not being bad, but I'm just saying, like, there's only so much you can take, I think, being involved in the sport and the responsibility that these guys have. But yet, who are they really answerable to, you know, if you get me?
We could do a whole podcast on this. Hannah, I just saw on your club's website, or on your club's Twitter page, Sunday is your Munster club championship game. Are you looking forward to it?
Yeah, very looking forward to it now. You know, it's total different. It's really exciting, you know, when you get out of your county with your club, because you literally don't have a clue what you're coming up against, you know, in many respects. And you know, it's a tough road. You have to play a quarter final, a semi final, and then obviously the Munster final. You know, it's just, there's always an excitement. There's such an excitement down in Ahead at the moment, because you know, even the fact you're going outside of Cork to play a club match, and you know, it's such a big deal for our club, and I'm really, really looking forward to it, and hopefully we can get the win and just keep her going.
Listen, best of luck for that. Listen,
yeah, good luck, Hannah.
Listen, thank you so much to Diana Hora and our guest, Hannah Looney. Listen, Hannah, I'm sure we'll be hearing lots more about you, hopefully in the next few weeks with your club, and then obviously with college and then the county. Thank you so much for joining us tonight on Sports Girls Podcast. Listen, the aim of this podcast is to help us promote women's sports and women in sport. So in particular, our native games, Gaelic football and Camogie. So you can follow sportstalk.ie on Instagram and Twitter. So until next week, check out gemevents.ie, candy carts, chocolate fountains, selfie mirrors. We got all your party needs covered at gemevents.ie. healthandfitnessireland.net. We put you back in control of your health, fitness, nutritional and well-being needs through education, advice and motivation. Check out healthandfitnessireland.net. Looking to dance the night away? Check out thelols.ie, the perfect sound for your next wedding, party or function. Great set lists, lively and sure crowd pleasers. thelols.ie.